Hey guys, how are you doing? Welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. And I'll tell you what, I am Michael Bejas and representing and here with TrimRadio.com. You can always come on over to TrimRadio.com. We have got wonderful shows on there. I mean, there's just too many to list. And I'll tell you what, we're always looking to add more shows. So if you come on over there, that would be absolutely wonderful. And we've got great merchandise, guys. Just like this wonderful little coffee mug right here. And I'm drinking coffee. You can tell I spilled it. But just so many shows. Skella, Stu, Dora, Victoria, myself, and Ranch It Up. Just Peter Kling, Maggie Kling. We just have so many different shows going on all the time. And I haven't been on for a while. So I had to take a little sabbatical for taking care of my mom, who became very, very ill during the wintertime. So I've missed it. I haven't had a chance to do it. And we're going to get right into it today. Well, as soon as I get everything worked out here, the bugs worked out. Anyway, I want to talk to you guys. There's something that I had went over, and it had to do with Paul. And Paul was writing, and this was yesterday, and make sure I have it right. Anyways, he was in, I believe it was Chronicles. Nope, it sure wasn't either. Ephesians. I'm sorry, it was Ephesians 6. And Paul is writing, and as he's writing, he is talking about the full armor of God. And one of the neat things about it, and the Bible is always open to all interpretations. A lot of people have different interpretations of it, and that's okay. As long as it's you're reading it, as long as you're getting to know God, that is one of the two purposes of the Bible, is A, get to know our Lord God, our one and only Savior, and B, get to know Christ, his son. And the Old Testament is the first covenant that we had with God that we failed, we couldn't do. And as you go through in Jeremiah, as you go through in Isaiah, God says, I'm tired of your burnt offerings. I'm tired of you coming up to pray and it's insincere. It's not, it's more lip talk than it is actually, as you know, God can see into our hearts and into our minds. He's very, very angry at us. He's frustrated and he's sick of it. So now he talks, then he is chosen, my chosen one who I will send will end that all time. And that was 500 years before Christ came along. And he is alluding and talking about Christ coming. And of course he sent his own son to, as we know, this last week on Easter, to sacrifice himself, which he did for us. And we're not even worthy. We still sin every day. I sin every day. And we all fall short. One of the interesting things about it is if you go back at the very beginning in Genesis, and you're taking a look where Abram, who became Abraham, and of course, you had Sarah, who became Sarai, who became Sarah. And he said, "Listen, I want you to take Isaac, your son, and go to Mount Moriah, and you're going to sacrifice him there." And he had already made a covenant with Abram. And at that point, you know, God is like, "Listen, you're doing this, and go there." But he had told him that your offspring is going to become numerous as the stars. So, you know, in the sand and over the seashore and everything else. The interesting part about it was Abraham does exactly what he's told. And Isaac is going with him. And Isaac himself says, you know what? We don't have a sacrifice. We have the wood. We have everything we need. And Abraham has to tell his own son, knowing he's going to sacrifice his son, don't worry, the Lord will provide. And he goes up without a second thought, binds him up, does everything he has to do, and he's ready to sacrifice him up in the air, ready to come down on him. And the angel comes down and says, do not hurt the lad. Do not lay a finger on him. And God comes, because you have done this, because your undying faith, and because you are willing to do this, I am making a covenant with you. You know, for this land, you're going to be wonderful. Your son, his offspring, here we go. And, you know, Isaac then to Jacob and Esau. And, of course, Esau gave away his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. But Jacob goes on, and as we know, absolutely beautiful how the story goes in. And it talks about all of his children who end up being the 12 tribes of Israel. So anyway, fast forwarding now to when Christ died, God did the same thing. There is a distinct parallel there, and it, plain as day. And God followed through with his son. Three times he had to turn his back. Father, take this cup from me. Not my will, but yours. Christ is up there. And, you know, people think, okay, well, you know, it's the Mount of Olives and he's in there and everything. You know, actually, he wasn't. The place where he was praying and going to God and sweating blood, and we'll take a look at that. The reason why he was sweating blood, could you imagine having the whole world sin upon your shoulders? You're scared. And Christ experienced everything that we did. Even though he was spiritual, but he was also human. Born of a human mother, Mary. But he still was taking this on. And his disciples fell asleep. So he's got three disciples there. They're falling asleep. And of course, you know, he's taking all this on. He's like, can't you even keep watch for me this small amount of time? Least sin come at the door. And they couldn't help it. They fell asleep. But God sacrificed his son, ending everything else of the old covenant and doing the new covenant. And we know the rest of the story with Christ. He descended, showed death that he beat them and everything, and then he ascended. And he came, showed himself to Mary. And, of course, Peter and James had seen the tomb. And, you know, we know the story from there. And he showed up many times to multiple people, witnesses, and everything else, over 500. So this wasn't just a fluke. It's not a fairy tale. This is what our Lord and Savior did for us. And of course, along the way, we saw hints in Matthew that were very true. They weren't just hints. He's explaining them to the disciples who became the apostles and later were bishops. So understand that. You know, James, I believe, was the first bishop that they counted as a bishop, and he was exiled over to Patmos in Greece. But and that's where John, that's where he had written Revelations. But everything that goes on is very, very interesting. And as we go through and we get to Paul, who has had an encounter face to face with Christ, and we know Christ is God because, like I said, in Matthew, it wasn't a hint. He was basically telling the disciples. They didn't always understand. I am in the Father. The Father is in me. And now you are in me. And you are also in the Father because the Father is in me. The Father is also in you. And, of course, the Holy Spirit, too. But that happened after he was crucified. And he blew on them. And the Holy Spirit came down on them. People thought they were drunk. And they weren't. And it was absolutely wonderful. So they had these powers to do these things, spread the word and everything else. Well, Paul, who used to persecute Christians when he was Saul. And of course, afterward, he, you know, Ananias, he had to go there 3 days blind. A lot of numerology, a lot of different things going on. But anyway, I'm going to go to Ephesians 6. And I want to get this thing here that the armor of God, and it's verse 10 in Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. When Paul is writing, understand he was in prison. He was chained like to a Roman guard. And he's making this wonderful analogy of how we should be in relationship with God. And it says, put on your full armor of God so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So there are still raiders going on in the heavenly realms. And people are like, what, in heaven? No, heavenly realms. There's different things going in. And we know that this is going to change because the heavenly realms will disappear. The earth will change. And it will be made anew by God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all together, the Trinity of Trinities. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And everything is going to change. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then. With the belt of truth. Now, when he's saying this, he's looking at this Roman guard. And he's making this analogy. He's bringing it forth. Understand, this guard is there not only to make sure he goes to trial, he's in prison, but it's also a protection so nobody can hurt him until he does go to trial. And he's looking at the attire. And he is coming up with this wonderful analogy of how we should be all the time. So with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness, and they had these breastplates so that if you went to hit them with the sword or you came around, it would deflect off and protect them. And that was one of the wonderful things. With righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Not attacking, not knowing God's word, learning it, and just doing that is not going to get you into heaven. Right? You have to understand, you have to have knowledge of God. We have to have a spiritual relationship with God. And we have to absolutely understand as best as we can how to walk in that relationship. And we all fall short. I know this, but let's keep going on. From the gospel of peace, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. So here's this big shield that they have. And I mean, it's not small. It goes up to here all the way down to their feet just about. And they used to put their shields together to protect themselves from the arrow and hold them up or whatever, so that if the arrows came overhead, they've got these shields. It's like a big umbrella. Beautiful pieces. I mean, definitely ready for battle, ready for anything that happens. And then he says, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So that's what the shield of faith is for. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet goes on over, protects their face, goes on over, down around their neck, okay, to make sure they can't get slashed in the neck, they can't get slashed in the face. It kind of comes over your nose and down and around there. So they have vision, but it comes around. And it's very interesting how he says that. The helmet of salvation. Keep your head clear. Keep it protected. If you protect your head and your thought process and everything, and you protect your heart, then understand something. That's what we're supposed to do. We've heard this numerous times throughout the Bible. God judges. He can see us in our heart. He knows what's in our hearts. And he knows our thinking. He knows it before we even know it. And then afterward, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we're walking in God with your feet. And then, of course, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. David used to, before he went into battle, always inquired from the Lord, Lord, should I do this? What should I do here? That's the beauty of David. David did this every single time. And when they didn't do that, when the 12 tribes didn't do that and they didn't inquire of the Lord, Saul was a perfect one. Get me a seer. And then the people, give us a king. They had a king, God. And they didn't follow his statutes, his decrees, his commands, his commandments. They didn't follow anything, his declaration, nothing. And it got him into trouble. And then Saul inquired somewhere else. Well, and he was told then too, because you have done this, your kingdom will be ripped away from you and given to who he has chosen from the clan of Jesse. And he will rule. Why? Because his heart is like-minded. Boy, that's a big thing. He has the same type of heart as me, but like-minded. So again, we're going to the head, we're going to the heart. And David did the things. He always inquired of the Lord, and he wrote about it. He sang praise to the Lord all the time. And people call it Psalms and music, a miktag from David, and this and that. David was writing so many truths and everything that went on from the time that he was stuck in the cave, he had to flee and everything else. And he made notes, the documentary of everything that happened, which validated God and gave God the glory. And that's why David was a great, great king. I mean, that's absolutely wonderful. And pray in the Spirit. And this is something else that people miss in the Bible. We I'm not knocking religion, okay? I'm not at all. For me, it is a spiritual relationship. For me, and we have to have a relationship with Christ. I have to go through Christ. I want to have a direct line to where whatever's on my mind, I can talk to Christ about it. And that's the wonderful thing. You know, we pray to him all the time. Sometimes we're insincere, and we are. But keep at it. Keep going through it. Acknowledge him. Give him praise. Think about everything you have in life. And you want to talk about the works? As Christ said, listen, if you don't believe anything else, go on the works that you've seen done. Well, you know, we all do works, and we have seen how God works in our lives. I've seen it. Other people might not believe it, but I've seen it. I've seen things that absolutely can't be explained. Nobody else has gone through them, but my family has seen them with me. And we're like, it's just overwhelming, and we're in awe, and it's God always being there. And when we get lackadaisical, if we get insincere, and feel like he's not there, He will wake you up very quickly. He did that to us and scared us to death. But it was like, I am here. Quit calling and thinking I'm not here when I am right here. And that's how our minds work. If we don't see him doing something all day long, we think that he's abandoned us. That's far from the truth. I mean, the farthest. He's always there. He's always listening. He always has mercy. He always has love. He's always forgiving. And that's the wonderful thing about God, about Christ. And I say Christ God because that's what it is. That is what he is. And he's spiritual. And that's one of the things that I love. Because when we're done with this flesh, we're going to be spiritual. Okay? We're done with the flesh part. We're going to his house. He's going to test us along the way. God doesn't tempt us because there is no temptation in him. There's no evil in him. But he will test us. And why shouldn't he? He's letting us in his house, the holy of the most holiest places. And Satan down here, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, the serpent, many names and everything else. And there's a whole bunch of antichrists down here. And I'll get into that in a minute too, that just work on us, these demons, 24/7. They will never let up. Understand something, especially if you start following God. Oh boy, you're in for it. I'm not going to lie to you. You are. But at the same time, the more you pray, the more you give God the praise he's due, and the more you appreciate what he's done and the love and the mercy, okay, he's chosen you. Let me go Jeremiah, I believe it's Jeremiah 11:19 or whatever, 29. I know the purpose. I know the plans I have for you. I know the purpose for you. Okay? That's not by dumb luck. As Christ said, I have chosen you. And of course, he's talking to the disciples. And does he ever pick anyone that's perfect? No. Okay. I mean, we have to be broken down, beat up, so that we have a little humility. Okay? We have to be torn down so that we can be built back on up in him. And that's the one beautiful thing about it, is that, and everybody is included now, Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, all of us. And believe me, we're not worthy. We have a terrible world. We've ruined it. We're not good people. Remember, not one. God himself says that. Christ himself says this. Why do you call me good? There's nobody good in this world. No, not one. But he didn't do any sins. So being called good is really a kind of an oxymoron, because that's exactly what he was. He felt he had temptation. He had everything else, but he never sinned. The entire time he was in the flesh, never sinned. We can't do that. And God has told us, listen, I am sick of mankind in Genesis. I'm sick of mankind. Every inclination of their heart is evil. Hence why Noah was coming along. This is the way that we are. But if you keep going through the Bible and peel back the layers, layer after layer after layer, you're going to see about 20 to 30 different things going on all the time. You're going to see parallelisms. You're going to see written in like a poetry. The theological understanding of it, there's so many different things, metaphors. We're seeing a lot of stuff going on. And today, we're in trouble. And we have to get it together. But we have to do it in a loving way, which we are far from. We have lost our empathy. We have lost our sympathy. We have lost our compassion. Most importantly, we've lost our love for one another. And it shows everywhere in the world. And then you know what happens? We get closed in. We get this, or we're ready to pass out from going through too many G's, you know, like a fighter pilot. And that's all we end up seeing is all the terrible things. And we forget about the good things that we also have going on. I mean, we need to start counting our blessings and loving one another, being there for one another. And even when somebody's mad at you, instead of retaliating or doing something, being able to say, hey, look, whoa, it's, you know what? It's okay. It's no problem. But giving that, doing that love, I mean, we could go into all kinds of metaphors. You, by being kind and being nice and doing the things he does, you heap burning coals on the one who is committing the sin. I mean, there's just so many different things throughout the Bible, which is absolutely wonderful. And of course, this last week, I had a few people talking about my imaginary friend. Christ, my imaginary friend. That's what they call them. And of course, you know, I could disprove you, you know. And then they mock religions and everything else. Now, again, I'm spiritual, but taking an assault on religions that are out in this world is also taking an assault on me. Because if they are for God, then they are with us. They're not against us. And Christ speaks about that too. And we have to elevate our mind. We have to transfigure our minds into a spiritual relationship. And I love it when people say, you know what, religion is just bad, bad, bad. But at the same time, well, isn't atheism a religion? And if you think it's not, then let me ask you something. Why would somebody go on out of their way to try to disprove God, to mock him, to try to say it's just an imaginary friend and everything else? Why bother? What do you care? Why are you trying to ruin the people that do believe in Christ and do believe in God and know that they're the same, so Christ God? Isn't that a religion? You're trying to disprove. You've spent your life trying to disprove God. I call that a religion. It's an obsession. It's a religion. I'm obsessed with Christ God. So these people are not. And of course, science, mathematics, astrology, just about everything is in agreement with Christ God. We have numerology all throughout the Bible, and people don't think about it. You know, I find it very interesting that Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and on 365 years, God took him. That's very interesting. There's 365 days in a year. I mean, you know, and then there's some that say, well, the Bible is, you know, King James manipulated and kept things out of the Bible. Well, you know what? Kept out books and stuff. The Bible is not going to put books in such as the Book of Enoch or any of these other books. And it's got a very simple reason why. It takes away the relationship from God, and it takes away the relationship for Christ. That's the two purposes of the Bible. Get to know God, get to know Christ, well, and the Holy Spirit. I just find it fascinating. What we're not learning, what we're not seeing, what we're taking for granted. And life is just a blink of an eye. And nothing changes. You can go back to Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. And they're not sure Solomon wrote it, but it sure seems like Solomon wrote it. So it was during that time. But it's just very interesting how that works. Now, getting back. So, of course, I'm going to go back. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Inquire about God. Just don't pray. It's great that you're praying when you're having everything good going. Pray when everything is not good. Be joyful about it, because God is giving us correction a lot of times. Does a father that loved you give you correction? Does a mother, does she give you correction because you're loved? They want to make sure you're safe, that you're prepared, that you're not out there just like some shooting from the hip, wild, unpredictable person. Of course, we have boundaries, we have rules, and God does that. But that's because he loves us. And it's never fun at the time, because we're scared and we're like, you know what? I don't understand. And it's to test us too. Don't lose our faith. Okay? We have to be able to do that. So when it happens, we have to be joyful. And it's not always easy to be joyful. But after, a little while of thinking, I'm like, you know what? That could have went way worse than what it did. And I'm pretty blessed that it didn't. So that's one of the beautiful things. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And Paul says, pray for me also, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And it is a mystery. And we don't know anything. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care of any of that, or even spiritual. There is so much we don't know. And then when we start to think that we know it really good, well, we're thinking more than what we are. I've been reading a long time, studying a long time. And I can tell you, I learn more and more and more every single day. And that's just the way that it is. And Paul's telling him too, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. I am chained up right now. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Don't be afraid. We know this even with Joshua. Have courage. Don't be afraid. Go forward. I will go before you. As long as you sit here and don't forget me, abandon me, and God had every right to do that. There is not one place anywhere in the Bible that he does anything unjustly. And people are like, well, God is ruthless. And I'm thinking, no, seems to me man is ruthless. We're the ones that make the mistakes. And then he says his final greetings, And the wonderful thing about it is, he's talking about Tychicus, of course, and telling these people everything. He's encouraging them. And the churches are having problems. They're infighting. Then they're trying to make their own deal here of how it should be, and fighting with the other group that says that's not how it is. So they've got that going on, briberies going on, different things to where they're not following the word. We saw this with the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Oh, they know the scripture inside and out. Problem is, they're not following the heart of it. So you have letter of the law and intent of the law, two very different things. If you're following the letter of the law, you're holding yourself accountable. And we see this with Congress all the time. in our own government. And, oh, well, you know, here's the letter of the law, and we should all be held accountable to it. But they don't. They follow the intent of it, but they aren't following it to the letter. But they'd hold you and I to that. So it's very interesting how that works. And he always ends things and begins things. Peace to the brothers and sisters and love with the faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. And he ends the letter. And he does this. He's always got this way that he has written all the books that he's written, you know, or written for the other apostles. And the wonderful thing about it is he always writes this wonderful, sincere, loving and caring finish and beginning to it. And I want us to think about all this stuff. Are we really putting on the full armor of God every day? And a lot of people are like, well, we, you know, celebrated Easter, went to church and everything like that. Well, if you're only praying on those wonderful holidays, of course, Christ being born and Christ dying, being crucified, and then being raised from the dead, right? You know, what are we doing the other days? Are we neglecting him? Are we taking the time to pray? Are we taking the time to learn? I mean, you have spouses, you have jobs and everything else, where you have to go to seminars and maybe counselors or whatever else, but you're taking the time to go and do those things. But are you taking the time to have the most important relationship? Are we doing that? And remember, Satan does, like I said, Satan, the serpent, Lucifer, attacks us 24/7 in our sleep, when we're awake, all the different temptations, all the things to take our mind on these evil things, and we're fighting with it. And it's hard. It's not easy. It's hard. But just remember this. And then he tries to make you feel like you're not good enough. He got kicked out of heaven. You did not. You still make mistakes and you have a chance to go back. He does not. His time is short and it will be finished soon. Yours, you're just beginning. But that beginning has to start with God. It has to start with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, King of Kings, the one and only. So I want to tell you all tonight, I hope, take that learning serious. If you love your spouse, if you love your job and you do this, you take these things, you're coming out, you're starting new. It's like being in kindergarten and going through high school, okay? And you keep moving forward and taking steps. Next thing you know, you're in associate and then a bachelor's and then a doctorate. You know what I'm saying? And you keep going. It never ends until your time here on earth is done. And then it doesn't end after that either. Every day we should be learning more and more and spending that time with our Lord and Savior. Have a great week, you guys. God bless. I'm sorry I have been away. I apologize. I should be out here talking about God every single day. And every day I've been praying. And every day God shows me a new miracle. So I hope that he does for you too. And start off just with the conversation. Maybe you don't have a lot to say. And maybe you just need to sit there and think about things. But he knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. And I want you to take this into a special attention here, too. If you were alone with somebody on a bench, who would you choose? You could have heroes. You can have anybody you want in this world. Or better yet, you can have God, Jesus Christ, God Almighty. How would that conversation go? Just you talking and you listening. But just remember to listen. You know, I mean, slow to speak, fast to listen. Take care, guys. And I'll see you hopefully this next week. Okay? Bye.